This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2. The week's best bits. Laura and Duncan's Hope Breakfast Podcast.
Hello, podcasters.
Hey to you over there. I see you.
Oh.
Good to see you.
Yeah, we give everyone an official name in Hopeland.
It's nice to be in your ears right now.
Coming up today on the podcast, the People's Court was very much needed to be in session.
And it always gets hot when we're talking about snack foods.
I know, ice vovos. Mm. If you are a lover of the ice vovos, be ready because we may or may not chastise your opinion.
And Ninja Warrior has just wrapped up and we reflected and reminisced about Gladiator.
Yes.
And it got really good.
Oh, go look at some pictures of original Gladiators, the Australian TV show, and you will just realise that we didn't wear things that were very fashionable with our muscles back then.
No, we didn't. By the way, if you do like this podcast, feel free to rate it.
Yes.
That's really good for podcasts. It boosts us, people see it, and we get more people engaging.
Kicking off in three. You going to count with me?
Two.
One.
Go.
There we go.
Breakfast is ready.
Morning, Laura Bennett.
Good morning, Duncan Robinson. Hello, everybody. One of the things from our childhood, this is year five for me, it is being ripped from the annals of history, and I'm not so pleased about it because I think it should have a firm place.
If this wasn't part of your childhood growing up, then you've obviously been living under a cave.
Oh, under a cave. Wow, that's like one. That's bigger than a rock.
Not in the cave. Whoa. You're underneath the cave. Well, tragedy is afoot, my friends.
Really?
Because Microsoft has announced that they are going to depreciate MS Paint as an asset.
No.
That basically means that they're no longer going to support it and it is going to die out.
No.
May not be in future releases. This might be the last time that we see Microsoft Paint as Windows product.
They need to just leave it there and keep it there for nostalgia's sake. And occasionally, even now, as a grown adult, I use Paint for copy-paste and cropping out images. It's handy.
Still fun to use.
You know, I saw an article about this, and I do like what the writer of it said. They said that because it's just going to sit there depreciating, maybe not re-released, Paint isn't quite dead yet. Microsoft are just sending it off to a retirement home, and they're ignoring it while it lives out its final days.
And it yells angrily at Adobe and other creative products.
And illustrates a little walking
It's not
shake.
How we used to do it back in the day. So, MasterChef Australia 2017 has been settled. It came down to a nail-biter between Diana Chan and Ben Ungerman.
Mm.
Okay, but then this went down in the thrilling conclusion.
Ooh.
Oh,
nasty.
Are you okay, Ben?
I've just cut my finger and I'm out of action.
That's a bad one.
Just grab a tea towel, mate, dry it off, because it's bleeding everywhere.
Whoa, nasty finger cut.
Needed a Band-Aid for sure. Anyway, he didn't come back from it.
Nope.
Okay, Diana took it out by 1 point in this nail-biting thriller of a MasterChef.
Yeah.
Now, the dish that every one of us could cook at home was, in fact, faux fruits that, when cut open, oozed applesauce and salted caramel. It is like one of the hardest dishes for a chocolatier to ever create.
Wow.
And that's apparently what ordinary people are making at home with two children running around in a kitchen where they barely have all the right ingredients.
And it's only okay to say ooze in relation to food like that. Like, no one else wants oozing anything.
Oozy caramel sauce.
And a bit of applesauce in there. But 1-300-40-2020, are you still watching cooking shows and being inspired by them? Because as you say, there used to be a time where you'd watch a show like MasterChef, My Kitchen Rules, etc., and it would be the everyday mum and dad, the single lad at home, trying to just cook an everyday meal. But now it's so fancy.
It's gotten to a place where it makes... I don't watch it anymore. I didn't see this finale.
No.
You know, just read it off a sheet of paper, honestly. And the reason is because it's unrealistic to assume that daddy and mummy are going to sit at home cooking faux fruits that ooze salted caramel, man. I'm trying to figure out a way to make my stroganoff a little bit better.
Add sour cream. Do you do the sour cream?
I'll tell you how you make your strog better.
Ooh.
You add Worcestershire sauce
early on,
gives it a little kick. Anyway, why can't I have a MasterChef like that? How do I do spag bowl better? Beef stroganoff better?
Yep.
How do I do Taco Tuesday in a way
mornay.
That your tuna mornay that the kids will like?
Morning, Alan. Which cooking shows are you watching?
There's quite a variety in these days, but I've switched over from the, I suppose, My Kitchen Rules and MasterChef, which just seem to have too much drama.
Mm.
And there seem to be more everyday cooking shows on SBS these days.
Oh, there's that Vietnamese cooking one, and there's that new one, which is like the Chef's Line or something, where you go head-to-head regular cook with a chef. Is that right?
Yep, Yeah, exactly. I mean, well, there's that as well. I think that's the main channel, but I think these days channels have sub-channels and all that kind of stuff, but I think theirs is Channel 33, which is just solely a channel dedicated around food.
Got to make you hungry, Alan. What is it that hooks you into the shows? Why do you like sort of watching people cook?
Well, I suppose, like, for me, I'm the chef of the family.
Yep.
So I'm always looking for ways to be able to just create something new. Not necessarily anything fancy, but I find a lot of these shows now on that channel have little bits of tips here and there to make a dish that little bit better.
Mm.
And it's like you said, Duncan, like for your stroganoff, putting that bit of Worcestershire sauce in there. It's like little things make the difference.
Oh, I love it.
Thank you, Alan.
Rick has jumped on the text line 0448 40 2020, said, I'm also over those cooking shows, as you said, Duncan. Who has time to cook those fancy dishes at home? One, we don't have the time.
Yep.
Two, we don't have those machines. And after a long day of wrangling kids, who could be bothered?
I found a way that the guys could reinvent the shows, though. Like, you know, Australian Idol.
Yes.
It was awesome at the time, but then it got ditched in favour of things like X Factor, like The Voice. So I have a pitch, actually. You could have a new cooking show called The Sniff. Simple intro. The way it would work, you put your dish out on the stage.
Okay.
You have people, judges, in chairs turned away from the dish.
High-end chefs.
Like The
Voice. Facing away.
Yes.
You've got a Ramsay, you've got a Jamie Oliver, someone else.
Nigella in the middle. And then you hear this... And the judge, if they like the smell of your dish, they turn their chair, dramatically pushing the button, and you win.
Okay. If the set's anything like The Voice, though, that food is a long way away. So I'm going to spice it up, right? You have the food out there, and you put giant industrial fans behind them to blow the scent out to the judges.
And then you have to give free food to your audience because they will be very hungry.
I think we've got a winner.
Yes. Channel 7, 9, 10, whoever wants me, give me a call. The Sniff. It could be yours for a high price.
Hope Breakfast with Laura and Duncan.
On Hope 103.2.
With us this morning, our official, unofficial D23 Comic-Con and general pop culture
expert.
Yes.
Queen. I want to say, Charlene, that you are queen of geekery.
Yes.
Would that be too much of a reach?
I think that would be stealing the throne from Felicia Day, but I'm quite happy to take that.
So tell us, you've just been at D23, which is the Disney convention, and also Comic-Con, which, is like nerd happy heaven.
I am beyond jealous right now, but so excited to talk to you.
What were you doing over there?
Oh, man, I was doing a lot of fun and entertaining things and sitting in a lot of lines waiting for a lot of fun and entertaining things. But I actually did get into the Marvel Defenders panel in Hall H.
What?
It took me 4 hours of sitting in the queue, but that panel was amazing.
Mm.
Sci-Fi did a whole lot of stuff, including some live recordings there, which were done by Zachary Levi. I had the current cast of Doctor Who did a whole interview. And talked about their thoughts of the new female doctor. And,
oh, my goodness.
And then they had a bunch of the people that were from the most recent Battlestar Galactica series there as well. And then they had Charlize Theron, and she was hilarious. She was so, so funny. She had to do a trivia contest with a super fan, was trivia about herself. And the score was 5-1 and she didn't win. So it was pretty hilarious.
There would be so much that you ask her because she's got Atomic Blonde coming out. But there's so much about Furiosa from Mad Max that you'd want to know about.
Well, apparently she broke Tom Hardy's nose.
Oh, wow.
And that was one of the questions they asked the superfan. And she said, what, I broke his nose? I don't remember breaking his nose.
That's totally under wraps. What happens on set stays on set.
Yeah. I'll tell you, one of my friends was in the panel with the DC TV series. And there was this one moment, which you have to look up on YouTube, but it had people in tears. There was this one girl who asked a question for Stephen Amell about the charity work he's done with cancer. And she wanted to know if he was going to be doing another show because she has cancer.
Mm.
And he said, well, I'm planning to do one, but not for a while. He said, I'll do you this deal. This necklace is really important to me. And he's got this one of an arrow, but I'm giving it to you now. And I want you to wear it and be here next year and return it to me at next year's panel. And so everybody obviously was doing a lot of crying because because, it's that stuff that's really important to him. But
yeah, because in the mix of that big, loud environment, there are these really heartfelt fan exchanges. Why do you think so many people jump on board Comic-Con and also, of course, the Disney Expo?
Well, I think one of the things I mentioned previously, that the main reason I go over there, have been going over there, is to support an offsite event called NerdHQ. And a lot of what it does is supporting charity. And one of the things we talked about with so many people this time was that it's not just about the event and the things, and obviously it's exciting getting all of those spoilers and inside stuff is fantastic. But the one thing is the unity that it creates, because it's a whole lot of people just really getting together with a whole lot of people that also have similar likes and dislikes, and you can sit down and talk to people and don't feel like you're being judged. You've just created these really epic bonds with people, so I love it.
And you think about the nature of sci-fi and fantasy, and you think especially when you're working with charities, you get these cases of kids who are going through really difficult, challenging moments in life. And what sci-fi and fantasy allows them to do is to suddenly become something much bigger and greater on a grander platform, where suddenly they're not just Jimmy who's struggling with cancer, right? They're the lord and defender of the free realm in a space fantasy where they can don the uniform and they become something much larger than them. And I feel like it kind of gives them the privilege to soar and be the hero that they've always dreamed of being, right?
Absolutely. And some of their most amazing, I mean, there were some phenomenal cosplays, and you know that some people spend a year making their outfit to wear once there. But some of the most amazing ones are ones like that, where people have got like their wheelchair and created it into a vehicle from a movie that they love, or somebody made it so that it looked like a walker from Star Wars, or those kind of things. You look at those people and you think, that is amazing that not only did they love it and they've been able to come here, but they've taken the time to create something like that. I love it.
Well, we're hoping to go next year. We would love to go next year and be part of the community there. Thank you for being our official, unofficial correspondent for D23 and Comic-Con. We do have a little hope goodie bag for you, so you can enjoy that.
I also would like to bestow upon you the title of Queen of Geekery for Hopeland.
Yes,
thank you.
And, you know, as our unofficial official now. Geek spokesperson.
Thank you.
Okay, so there was a little girl in East London who saw an opportunity at a music festival, 5 years old, to set up a lemonade stand to sell to would-be thirsty concert goers. Genius idea. And the stand looked pretty good. Now, she ran inside to her daddy in tears because what had happened, she was fined $240 Australian dollars for setting up a lemonade stand without a license.
What? Okay, look, like business needs
devastated.
To be legitimate. That's fair enough.
Totally.
But kiddie business, the rite of passage to create a lemonade stand and set that up, make some extra pocket money. Surely that's okay. Surely there is an exemption for kiddie lemonade stands. If it's above board, if your parents are trying to make like $1 billion off of you, fair enough you can do it.
There's kids in our neighborhood who have like a designer custom built hipster lemonade stand with all the bells and whistles. We drive by it all the time and our kids are like, Daddy, build me a lemonade stand.
Yes.
I'm thinking about maybe I build a black market lemonade stand.
Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning.
Hello. So you have a current pocket money plan. What is it that you've got going on?
Massaging.
Ooh, okay. Listen, I love a good massage. I get one at least twice a month.
Wow.
Now, let's run through the figures. How much for a 30-minute massage?
$5.
Whoa. $5. Are you working shoulders primarily?
Shoulders and back, and the back of your head.
Gosh.
Ooh, back of the head.
So mum and dad appreciate this, do they?
Yeah.
What's your grip strength like? Because that's always big. I need someone with firm, strong hands.
My grip strength is really good. Like, my nan is in the car with me and she just said it's really good, but also thanks to gymnastics.
Oh,
okay. So you get your elbows and knees into the knots?
Yeah.
You've trained for this, Sarah. I think, like, though, I mean, $5 for half an hour, that's good money, but I reckon you could actually up your price just a little bit too.
Yeah, I mean, you could push it a little bit higher than that. I'd still probably be in for a massage.
1-300-40-2020, which is breaking a parent's bank. What is it that you used to do for pocket money? Morning, Stephen.
Yes, good morning, Laura. Good morning, Duncan.
Hi.
Morning.
So what did you used to do?
Yeah, we, back in the early 1990s, had a Coke machine installed at our school, very controversially at the time.
Ooh, about 50 cents a can, early 90s?
Would have been probably closer to the dollar mark, but yeah, you're not far from it.
Okay.
And I made sure that the cans I would bring to school in an insulated duffel bag were 20 cents cheaper, and I was, let's just say, taken to task for being so commercially minded at school.
Stephen, it's inappropriate, and what you did was right. That there is capitalism at its finest. Well done.
That reminds me of a boy that I used to go to school with. We would all forget our lunch, and so what did he start to do? He started to bring two-minute noodles to school. He would sell them for about 80 cents more than the price on the packet, which was pretty cheap anyway. So he was making a pretty penny.
Making a killing on two-minute noodles.
Yeah, all of the starving high schoolers. Morning, Rebecca. This is your daughter. What does she have on offer?
My daughter is a very clever girl. She's 9 years old, and every Mother's Day at school, she'll ask me for jewellery that I don't need anymore, so all that dress-up jewellery.
Yep.
She'll say, Mummy, can you give me some of your jewellery that... she wouldn't tell me what it's for, and I'll say, yeah, you can have it, no worries. So she'd take it to school, she'd come home, and she'd go, guess what, Mummy, you know that jewellery that you gave me? And I said, yeah. I just made $30 and $40 with it. And I was like, wow.
She's a jeweler. She's the school jeweler.
I want to know if she opens up her school jacket and there's just watches hanging down.
Want to buy a necklace? Mother's Day's coming up. Your mother will love it.
Hope Breakfast with Laura and Duncan.
On Hope 103.2.
On my honour, I will try to serve God and my country.
Wow, said with such passion. I never had to be a Girl Scout, but I was a Brownie for a little while. Brownies was fun. I had the yellow skivvy and the light denim jeans up to the waist. It was gorgeous fashion back in the day. But the Girl Scouts in the US, they've kicked off a change. They've got some new badges. You know how you accumulate badges for different challenges that you do?
Yeah,
so they've added a whole bunch of new ones focusing on robotics, coding, aviation design, meteorology. One of the badges even involves scouts going on an environmentally conscious camping trip. And the suggestion around the reasoning why they wanted to do this is, of course, to expand the things that girls get their hands involved in, but also to change the way they think to being a maker, an owner of these different fields, as opposed to just contributing.
Okay, listen, great initiative, Laura. Mm-hmm. All for it. Love the Girl Scouts, love what they do. The only issue is Girl Scout Hall is just around the corner from my place, and it looks like
an abandoned miner's hut.
Okay, so I want to suggest some brand new badges.
Okay.
How about lawn mowing, painting, emptying the gutters and doing the windows once in a while.
Oh, wow. And you're going to sign up Ruby for Girl Scouts?
Listen, I would actually kick in and help. I want that place to be awesome.
And now it's time for Ludicrous Long Shots. No way!
Today, Hopeland, I think, is becoming one of our favourite Ludicrous Long Shots. We set out earlier this hour, as we do on a Wednesday, to put a challenge before you that collectively we would achieve. Do you know, or are you, one of the original gladiators?
Meet the gladiators. Vulcan, Cheetah, Hammer, Blade, Cougar, Delta, Force, Rebel, Taipan, Fury, Condor, Storm, Tower and Flame.
It is my pleasure to announce that we have one of the original gladiators, Vulcan, John Saru, on the line this morning. Hello.
Hey, how you going?
I'm a little bit beside myself. I want to refer to you, John, as Vulcan in my head, but I'm going to try and minimise that. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, it's okay. It's a pleasure, guys. Yeah, how you doing?
Very well. So what are you up to now post-gladiator fame?
Man, I've got a gym over in Manai area down the show, and I've got a wrestling school that I train kids wrestling and, you know, smack jiu-jitsu guys around like someone else I know.
Yeah, Duncan.
I feel like there's a challenge brewing. And I always felt like when I was watching the original show that you were the hardest to get through. Like, if you were in with a chance if you pulled Taipan or Flame, right? But if you got Vulcan, it was probably all over.
It's all over. Say goodbye. Just don't turn up.
Did you ever hurt one of the punters who came onto the show?
Have I hurt any of them?
Yeah, did you? Because, I mean, you had every day.
I totally hurt all of them.
Hey, well, we've got to ask you, Vulcan, why are you on the line with us this morning? What do you think of New Ninja Warrior? Do you think they have what it takes to be like the gladiators?
You know what? It's probably the best show ever. I was disappointed last night, though.
Yeah.
It was hard, man. I was wondering, though, would we, you know, potentially see Vulcan attempt the Ninja Warrior course?
You know what? I'm trying to think twice about that. I think it'd be good.
Yeah.
Maybe I can do it.
We would love to see that. And I would also like to see, John, a takedown of Duncan in your gym. Do you reckon we could arrange that at some point?
Duncan's got nothing, man.
I've done jiu-jitsu 10 years. I'm ready to take you on, Vulcan.
Thanks for joining us.
What'd you say, Duncan?
I said I've been doing jiu-jitsu 10 years. I'm ready to wrestle you.
Duncan, you still there?
Yeah.
Oh, the SmackDown has begun on Hope 1032. And thank you for joining us and congratulations. One of the greatest ludicrous long shots I think we've had yet on Hope 1032.
I'm starstruck.
Are you ready to battle Vulcan?
Did I just call out Vulcan?
You did.
Oh, what have I done?
How many times did it take you to pass your driver's test? There is a survey out this morning suggesting that smarter people are more likely to fail their driving test first go. Now, I got my license first time. You got yours first time, Duncan.
I did get my license first time. And this is actually disconcerting news to hear that smarter people take longer to get their license because my sister.
Yeah.
She took, I believe it's 9 or 11 times to get her driver's license. It was so bad, she was trying to get it on manual. Oh. She had to stop, switch to automatic, then do it 2 more failed times before she actually got her driver's license.
Is her driving record pretty good these days?
There are what she calls a few freckles on her car, which are actually like bumps and dents.
Oh, wow. Don't think it's ever wise to share stories about your sister unless you've asked your sister first if you can share those stories.
This isn't in our plan.
What
are we talking about?
You said something about your lovely sister Zoe a moment ago. Her driving record.
Pretty atrocious driving.
Oh, good morning, Zoe. How are you doing?
Good morning.
Now, has Duncan besmirched your name by saying that you failed your driving test 9 times?
No, that's probably not inaccurate, but...
Hold on, how many times was it? Was it 9 times?
It wasn't 9, it was 4. And yes, there was a switch from manual to automatic.
I feel like there was more failures than 4. I feel like the number has grown smaller with the years.
Maybe it has. Maybe I'm trying to convince people that I'm a fairly good driver now. But it wasn't a good time. No, that's for sure. I had to change places I went to. So it's a number of different driving places.
I did not know that you had to change driving schools to get your pass.
How's self-confident, Zoe? Do you feel like you're strong on the road these days?
I think I'm an excellent driver now.
Okay, let's back up. You've got a brand new car with alloys on it. Do you have scratches on the rims of the alloys yet?
I do, but I think they're not mine. I'm not convinced that they might have been somebody else's. Don't forget I also have a four-wheel drive course under my belt now, and I only scratched my husband's car briefly in that course.
Hope Breakfast with Laura and Duncan.
On Hope 1032.
New release Thursday.
Time to talk movies. We're going to be chatting about War for the Planet of the Apes.
Prepare for battle. They took too much from me. Family. And more apes die every day.
Human gets sick. Ape gets smart. Then human kill ape. But not me. I run.
Good morning, Russ. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. It's great to be back and glad to hear you guys back.
Thank you. This sounds intense, Russ. And I feel for Andy Serkis, who does play the lead ape in this, because he's an amazing actor, but they only ever want his voice.
That's right. He has actually become kind of the pinnacle of this kind of motion action kind of CGI. This is the third installment in the Planet of the Apes series. And so this is the War of the Planet of the Apes. And so we follow after the rise and the dawn of the Planet of the Apes. What we do is it kind of brings to conclusion all that's been happening, kind of this battle between humanity and the world of apes. And Andy Serkis is in the lead role as Caesar, but you never see his face. But yet, in the end, it kind of brings it all together because the apes want to go on and kind of live their own lives, but the humanity really wants to kind of pull them back in and kind of draw their attention to the whole fact that they're at war with one another.
Russ, I really struggle with this because it's a remake, obviously, of a older version of Planet of the Apes. And there was all this kind of kitschness attached to it. Like, they were really trying to plumb for deep, meaningful feelings. But at the end of the day, like, it's people versus apes, and that kind of just feels a bit dorky.
Now, keep in mind that this is kind of going back, it's almost like a prequel to what they did back in the 1960s, you know, kind of with the whole Charlton Heston thing.
And yeah. So
it really is a fascinating twist. I don't know, have you watched, I don't know if you've had the opportunity of seeing the first two films.
Yeah, I mean, and I liked them, and that was my problem. I'm like, man, this is really engaging and challenging, but we're dealing with apes that talk.
There's too many apes in them for me, Russ.
Too many apes in them. Yeah, I mean, well, I know. Well, that's the thing about the CGI. It's gotten so good that you're going, they look so real.
Yeah.
But it's definitely not the tongue-in-cheek kind of like, oh, yeah, we kind of get the fact that they've got these plastic masks on, but they definitely don't seem that way in this. I don't think, I really found that this was, you know, it's really been a great series. I've been quite engaged with it. I thought that it was a fascinating look at, especially the fact that it's really not an evolutionary thing. It's really the fact that man kind of messed things up by kind of trying to mess with science, and it's really caused the downfall of humanity and actually the rise of the apes, if they would say.
Wow, so you feel like there is a valuable message to take home from it then?
Oh, yeah. I think that there's definitely an opportunity to kind of look at really what is the issue with the human condition, but also that it's really not, it's not one of those things. It does definitely deal with some big issues as far as kind of sacrifice and mercy in this one. I find that it wasn't as good necessarily as the second one because they had to do so much to try and kind of wrap up this story. But we already know that there's going to be, this is kind of the start of kind of the new franchise, which I think that's what you're kind of getting to too, Duncan. That
yeah.
They're going to be really kind of going after that, kind of the planet of the apes, and that's how we were introduced back in the 1960s with that.
Okay, so Russ, score out of 5.
I would get, this is a solid 3 for me. I mean, because I really liked, I thought Dawn was actually better, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, but this is a really solid 3, and I think that it really kind of helps to set up what's going to be a future franchise.
Not bad. Russ, thank you very much.
Hey, see you at the movies.
We are here for one important reason, to get free swag. Swag! I'm gonna grab forever stuff that I really don't need. Swag! I'm gonna have 40 keychains, and I don't even have 40 keys. Swag!
It is tempting to get a good freebie when you can.
And you know what? The braggadocious levels in the studios gone way up.
We are a little bit jealous of our producer, Ali, this morning because she rocked into the studio. Well, hey, guys, I'm going to be super sporty now because I've signed up to a gym membership. You know what she got, Hope Land, when she signed up to her new gym membership because she's super sporty?
What did she get, Laura?
She got a backpack.
Unbelievable.
There were goodies in the backpack, drink bottle and a bunch of other la-di-da things. She also got free personal training sessions. Come on now. That is unfair levels of free stuff.
It is a pretty good freebie that she got hooked up with.
Yes.
On 1-300-40-2020, what is the best freebie that you have ever got?
You can also jump on the text line 0448 40 2020. My freebies have always been around the idea of like buy 10 get one free, so I have had a free boost juice on occasion.
Okay, yeah, I mean, I get a free coffee. Here's my situation.
Yeah.
My best freebie, and it's not meant to be sad, but I inherited my father's car, which was a 2015 Mazda 3.
Ooh.
Absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
He doesn't need it anymore because he's gone to be with Jesus. But
unfortunate circumstances.
This is an incredible freebie that I've just scored.
I think you've just rubbed it in to Ali. Hey, yeah. I'll up your backpack with a car. 1-300-40-2020. Morning, Danielle. What was your freebie?
Oh, I was on a dating site trying to find a date and got a free car instead.
What
kind of car did you get?
Ford Kuga.
Now, that's a bit suggestive. Now, I've got to ask a question quickly. Was it off a younger man that you got this car?
No.
Danielle.
That used to be my nickname at Bible College.
Oh, gosh. Duncan's being cheeky. How did you land up with a free car on a dating site? Because to me, that does not normally seem like the reason you're jumping on the website.
No, I thought maybe next I go to a car site for a guy. I don't know.
It's the time where we cover off the big issues,
Hopeland.
This one has arisen and I think it does need to be addressed. So, you know iced Vovos?
Yes.
The biscuit that has fluffy coconut on either side and then a strip of jelly down the middle or
the
jam.
Afterthought of the biscuit world.
The biscuit you don't choose. It's being turned into an ice cream along with some other ones. Who's going to buy it? I don't know. Because why do you go for the Vovo?
Really?
Yes.
Ice Vovos.
Yes, because this is the snack that you shouldn't like. I'm sorry if you do, but this is the snack you should not
like. This is the snack that you grab when you're late to grandma's party and there's no other biscuits left and you gotta succumb to an ice Vovo and a cold cup of tea.
Exactly right. Ice Vovo is the snack for those over 80. If you are under 80 years old and you like an iced Vovo, we need to have a talking to you.
It's the snack that attempts to murder you if you accidentally breathe in through your mouth when it's in your mouth and the coconut slides down into your lungs.
Straight to the back. 1-300-40-2020. I think this calls for
contentious conundrums, bothering botherations. The People's Court.
The People's Court is in session. Good morning, Cara. You're coming to bat for the Vovo, are you?
I am.
Why do you love them?
State your case, Cara.
I don't know why I love them. They're just good. They're jam, they're marshmallow, they're coconut, with a bit of biscuit. Good. I haven't tried the ice creams. I'm going to try the ice creams before the weekend is out.
Cara, let me push back a little bit here. First of all, Bounty bars are far superior because chocolate and coconut go way better together than coconut and marshmallow.
Whew.
See, it's personal taste, I think. If you like coconut, you like the iced Vovos.
1-300-40-2020. Good morning, Ella. Do you like iced Vovos?
I love iced Vovos. I literally had this conversation with people at work this week. I bought a packet of iced Vovos to share with my team. And No one ate them. They're sitting on my desk in a jar, and I'm slowly making my way through the packet.
Well, then make your case, Ella. Why should your teammates give one a go?
I just think they're delicious. When Duncan said a cold cup of tea and an iced Vovo, I thought, you're speaking my language. That sounds delicious.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? If you breathe in, Ella, those coconut flakes suck into your lungs and you almost die.
Delicious. I'm 26. You said they're for people over 80. And
they
I was like, no, Duncan, no. People love an iced Vovo. Don't take them away from us.
If only we had the power to do it. 1-300-40-2020.
On the text line, 0448-40-2020, 194 has come in and said, Laura and Duncan, I am sorry, but you are completely mistaken. Ice Vovos are amazing. An Australian classic. They are up there with choc-coated teddy bears.
Ooh, I like the teddy bears.
I'm loving it, the choc-coated teddy bears. They are really great. But they're in the news as well because they've reduced the amount of teddies in those snack packs.
No.
What are you doing?
I just don't see what is happening with Australian snacks. On 1-300-40-2020, Alan, which snack are you coming to defend?
I'm actually defending the iced Vovos, guys.
Oh, what?
Alan, what are you, about 103 years old?
No, I turned 25 in February, so I'm only 24, buddy.
What? Sorry, Adam, the line's breaking up. Alan, whoops. I don't need to know the name of someone who likes iced Vovos. It is Feel Good Friday time. 1-300-40-2020. Text line 0448-40-2020. What is your win for the week? We shall celebrate it.
Let's get the celebrations underway. Yes. Laura, what is your win for the week?
Guys, this afternoon, after I finish at work, I will be picking up my brand new car. And by new car, I mean new to me. Like, it's a used car, but it's new to me, and I am so excited. We will have the official introduction on Monday because I'm going to need to have a naming party and also a funeral for my current car, Lexi, because she's getting squashed.
Well, my celebration win for the week is that I will never have to behold that old dog of a car, that coal-fired Lexan that you own, and it could finally be laid to rest like it should have been 10 years ago.
I have a New Testament car now, not an Old Testament Moses car.
Great.
I've upgraded. 1-300-40-2020. What is your win for the week? You can also jump on the text line 0448-40-2020. This morning, Jacob, hello. What are you celebrating?
I'm turning 8 today.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to Jacob. Happy birthday to you.
Oh, no.
We've
response.
Got some Laura and Duncan bespoke wet wipes for you. You can take those home.
Yep.
Standard response.
On the text line, Alice has texted in and said, my win for the week is my sister Veronica just got married on Saturday to an awesome guy named Chuck. It was a wonderful day celebrating an awesome couple. And Stephen just jumped on and said, win for the week was meeting a great Christian girl last week and had two successful dates this week. Stephen, I feel like 1-300-40-2020. Let's call and chat about it. How'd it go? Tracy has texted in. My win for the week. I got the day off and I'm going to buy a packet of iced Vovos. Oh, setting Tracy, the bar low, Tracy.
We celebrate for you, but we disagree with your choice of activity for your day off. 1-300-40-2020. Andrea, morning. What are you celebrating?
Yeah, hi. I did a load of washing this morning, and when I went to match the socks up, they all matched.
It was yes.
That is load perfection right there. Well done, Andrea.
Thank you.
You've got some serious skills. We are celebrating that this morning.
The week's best bits. Laura and Duncan's Hope Breakfast Podcast.
Gotta love us some Feel Good Friday.
Oh, that was really special. Like, yeah. I feel encouraged right now.
You feel like you've just been given a cuddle?
Well, I'm really encouraged to know that your terrible car will no longer be with us.
Yeah, I know. It's a little bit happy sad, but proper introduction will probably be on the next podcast.
Ooh, I can't.
To the new one.
Do I get to, like, suggest names?
If they're any good.
Cynthia?
I think that's a straight up no.
Okay.
Don't forget, rate your podcast. 5 stars is always the best because that's going to help more people find your breakfast show.
Yeah, and if you could write, like, a little review, that would be really great as well.
See you later.
See ya.
Hope Breakfast with Laura and Duncan. 6 till 9 weekdays on Hope 103.2. Thanks for listening. Start your day with life words. Subscribe to Hope 103.2's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.